Welcome to day 116 of my Everyday Bible. This is Rita, your host, and today we are going to read three chapters from the book of Psalms. We will be reading Psalm number 73 and Psalms 77 and 78. I believe you will enjoy them. Regardless of what you may be going through in life today, whether you're facing difficulties, challenges, and trials, these Psalms will definitely encourage you. And also, we will discover one of King David's spiritual secrets that are mentioned in the body of the Psalms that we're going to read. So, beginning at Psalm number 73 from the New American Standard Bible, beginning at verse 1. Surely God is good to Israel, to those who are pure in heart. But as for me, my feet came close to stumbling. My steps had almost slipped. For I was envious of the arrogant, as I saw the prosperity of the wicked. For there are no pains in their death, and their body is fat. They are not in trouble as other men, nor are they plagued like mankind. Therefore pride is their necklace, the garment of violence covers them. Their eye bulges from fatness, the imaginations of their heart run riot. They mock and wickedly speak of oppression, they speak from on high. They have set their mouth against the heavens, and their tongue parades through the earth. Therefore his people return to this place, and waters of abundance are drunk by them. They say, how does God know? And is there knowledge with the Most High? Behold, these are the wicked, and always at ease they have increased in wealth. Surely in vain I've kept my heart pure and washed my hands in innocence, for I have been stricken all day long and chastened every morning. If I had said, I will speak thus, behold, I would have betrayed the generation of your children. When I pondered to understand this, it was troublesome in my sight, until I came into the sanctuary of God. Then I perceived their end. Surely you have set them in slippery places. You cast them down to destruction. How they are destroyed in a moment. They are utterly swept away by sudden terrors, like a dream when one awakes. O Lord, when aroused, you will despise their form. When my heart was embittered and I was pierced within, then I was senseless and ignorant. I was like a beast before you. Nevertheless, I am continually with you. You have taken hold of my right hand. With your counsel you will guide me, and afterward receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but you? And besides you, I desire nothing on earth. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. For behold, those who are far from you will perish. You have destroyed all those who are unfaithful to you. But as for me, the nearness of God is my good. I have made the Lord God my refuge, that I may tell of all your works. Psalm 77. Verse 1. For the choir director, according to Jeduthun, a psalm of Asaph. My voice rises to God, and I will cry aloud. My voice rises to God, and he will hear me. In the day of my trouble, I sought the Lord. In the night, my hand was stretched out without weariness. My soul refused to be comforted. When I remember God, then I am disturbed. When I sigh, then my spirit grows faint. Selah. You have held my eyelids open. I am so troubled that I cannot speak. I have considered the days of old, the years of long ago. I will remember my song in the night. I will meditate with my heart, and my spirit ponders. Will the Lord reject forever, and will he never be favorable again? Has his loving kindness ceased forever? Has his promise come to an end forever? Has God forgotten to be gracious, or has he in anger withdrawn his compassion? Selah. Then I said, it is my grief that the right hand of the Most High has changed. I shall remember the deeds of the Lord. Surely I will remember your wonders of old. I will meditate on all your work and muse on your deeds. Your way, O God, is holy. What God is great like our God? You are the God who works wonders. You have made known your strength among the peoples. You have, by your power, redeemed your people, the sons of Jacob and Joseph. Selah. The waters saw you, O God. The waters saw you. They were in anguish. The deeps also trembled. The clouds poured out water. The skies gave forth a sound. Your arrows flashed here and there. The sound of your thunder was in the whirlwind. The lightnings lit up the world. The earth trembled and shook. Your way was in the sea, and your paths in the mighty waters, and your footprints may not be known. You led your people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. Psalm 78. God's guidance of his people in spite of their unfaithfulness. A Maskil of Asaph. Verse 1. Listen, O my people, to my instruction. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known. And our fathers have told us, we will not conceal them from their children, but tell to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wondrous works that he has done. For he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should teach them to their children, that the generation to come might know, even the children yet to be born, that they may arise and tell them to their children, that they should put their confidence in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments, and not be like their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that did not prepare its heart and whose spirit was not faithful to God. The sons of Ephraim were archers equipped with bows, yet they turned back in the day of battle. They did not keep the covenant of God and refused to walk in his law. They forgot his deeds and his miracles that he had shown them. He wrought wonders before their fathers in the land of Egypt, in the field of Zoan. He divided the sea and caused them to pass through, and he made the waters stand up like a heap. Then he led them with the cloud by day, and all the night with a light of fire. He split the rocks in the wilderness and gave them abundant drink like the ocean depths. He brought forth streams also from the rock and caused waters to run down like rivers. Yet they still continued to sin against him, to rebel against the Most High in the desert. And in their heart, they put God to the test by asking food again according to their desire. Then they spoke against God. They said, can God prepare a table in the wilderness? Behold, he struck the rock so that waters gushed out and streams were overflowing. Can he give bread also? Will he provide meat for his people? Therefore the Lord heard and was full of wrath. And a fire was kindled against Jacob, and anger also mounted against Israel. because they did not believe in God and did not trust in His salvation. Yet He commanded the clouds above and opened the doors of heaven. He rained down manna upon them to eat and gave them food from heaven. Man did eat the bread of angels. He sent them food in abundance. He caused the east wind to blow in the heavens, and by His power He directed the south wind. When He rained meat upon them like the dust, even winged fowl like the sand of the seas, then He let them fall in the midst of their camp, round about their dwellings. So they ate and were well filled, and their desire He gave to them. Before they had satisfied their desire, while their food was in their mouths, the anger of God rose against them and killed some of their stoutest ones and subdued the choice men of Israel. In spite of all this, they still sinned and did not believe in His wonderful works. So He brought their days to an end in futility and their years in sudden terror. When He killed them, then they sought Him and returned and searched diligently for God. And they remembered that God was their rock and the Most High God their Redeemer. But they deceived Him with their mouth and lied to Him with their tongue, for their heart was not steadfast toward Him, nor were they faithful in His covenant. But He, being compassionate, forgave their iniquity and did not destroy them. And often He restrained His anger and did not arouse all His wrath. Thus He remembered that they were but flesh, a wind that passes and does not return. How often they rebelled against Him in the wilderness and grieved Him in the desert. Again and again they tempted God and pained the Holy One of Israel. They did not remember His power, the day when He redeemed them from the adversary, when He performed His signs in Egypt and His marvels in the field of Zoan, and turned their rivers to blood and their streams they could not drink. He sent among them swarms of flies which devoured them, and frogs which destroyed them. He gave also their crops to the grasshopper, and the product of their labor to the locust. He destroyed their vines with hailstones, and their sycamore trees with frost. He gave over their cattle also to the hailstones, and their herds to bolts of lightning. He sent upon them His burning anger, fury and indignation and trouble, a band of destroying angels. He leveled a path for His anger. He did not spare their soul from death, but gave over their life to the plague and smote all the firstborn in Egypt, the first issue of their virility in the tents of Ham. But He led forth His own people like sheep and guided them in the wilderness like a flock. He led them safely so that they did not fear, but the sea engulfed their enemies. So He brought them to His holy land, to this hill country which His right hand had gained. He also drove out the nations before them and apportioned them for an inheritance by measurement, and made the tribes of Israel dwell in their tents. Yet they tempted and rebelled against the Most High God and did not keep His testimonies, but turned back and acted treacherously like their fathers. They turned aside like a treacherous bow, for they provoked Him with their high places and aroused His jealousy with their graven images. When God heard, He was filled with wrath and greatly abhorred Israel, so that He abandoned the dwelling place at Shiloh, the tent which He had pitched among men, and gave up His strength to captivity and His glory into the hand of the adversary. He also delivered His people to the sword and was filled with wrath at His inheritance. fire devoured his young men, and his virgins had no wedding songs. His priests fell by the sword, and his widows could not weep. Then the Lord awoke as if from sleep, like a warrior overcome by wine. He drove his adversaries backward. He put on them an everlasting reproach. He also rejected the tent of Joseph and did not choose the tribe of Ephraim, but chose the tribe of Judah, Mount Zion, which he loved. And he built his sanctuary like the heights, like the earth which he has founded forever. He also chose David, his servant, and took him from the sheepfolds, from the care of the ewes with suckling lambs he brought them, to shepherd Jacob his people and Israel his inheritance. So he shepherded them according to the integrity of his heart and guided them with his skillful hands. This is the end of today's scripture reading. Before we move on to today's devotional, I wanted to let you know about some other free resources available to you from Hidden with Christ Ministries. We have a weekly teaching called Word for Wednesday, available on video through YouTube, or as an audio podcast available on all the major podcasting platforms. Just type in Word for Wednesday, Rita Langland, on YouTube or on your favorite podcast channel, or you can visit our website at hiddenwithchrist.org to find a library of hundreds of Bible teachings by yours truly, Rita Langland. And now let's continue with today's devotional. One of the things that I dearly love about the book of Psalms is that it is such a beautiful reflection of the entire panorama of human experience and of human emotion. We started out with Psalm 73, and it's such an excellent psalm because it really reflects what a lot of people experience in life. People who are trying to serve God and who love the Lord, but at the same time, they can see so often that to the natural eye and to natural appearance of things, it looks sometimes like wicked people are doing better than people who love and honor God. This psalm started out with the psalmist saying or telling the story of how he came close to stumbling. It says in verse 2, "But as for me, my feet came close to stumbling. My steps had almost slipped." And then he tells you how he got into that condition where he is almost falling apart and falling backward or going in a wrong direction from the Lord. And it says in verse 3, "For I was envious of the arrogant," or "because I envied arrogant people. I saw the prosperity of the wicked." And then he begins to tell in the next verses how he saw things, what it looked like to him, and how he came to this conclusion that maybe it's not even worth keeping his heart pure. These verses tell how to his natural eyes it looks like the arrogant person, the wicked person, the person that doesn't serve God, doesn't experience any trouble in life, because he says they're not in trouble like other people. They're not plagued like the rest of mankind. And it goes on to say how they're prideful and they're fat. They receive everything that they need. They set their mouths against heaven. And yet it looks like they don't have any trouble in their life, like so many believers who have faced trouble, who faced difficulty and trial and tribulation. So the psalmist is giving us an honest account of his own experience, that he came close to falling away from God because he observed other people's life and compared their life to his own, which is always a dangerous thing to do. The scripture tells us, don't compare yourselves among yourselves because it's not wise. That's from the New Testament. And that's basically what was happening here. He started comparing the difficulties in his life, a person who's trying to follow God and honor God, with somebody who looks like they're prospering, even though they don't even love, honor, obey, or acknowledge God. In fact, they mock God. This scripture tells us they mock and wickedly speak of oppression and the like. So he tells us how he got to this place of almost falling away from the Lord because he began to have envy in his heart for people who were wicked, who were prospering. And this is something that is very easy to fall into. You could be going through a really difficult time in your life, and maybe you love and honor the Lord and you can't understand why you're having such a difficult time, and yet you look at perhaps a relative of yours who doesn't love God, doesn't honor God, never acknowledges God, and yet their life looks like it's being lived on easy street. But the psalmist goes on to tell us something that he found out. It says, as if you read further down in Psalm 73 here, it says in verse 21, "When my heart was embittered and I was pierced within, then I was senseless and ignorant, and I was like a beast before you." So he's telling the Lord, he got to a place where he's almost bitter over this situation of the godless person is prospering and he who loves God is having a hard time. But he confesses that he was like a beast before God. He was senseless and ignorant, because the reality was that's the way things appear are so often not as they really are. And in this case, that was the truth. And he goes on to say, "Nevertheless, even though I was in this condition, I was continually with you. You took hold of my right hand." God wasn't giving up on him, even though he was struggling by looking at this. And then he got the revelation, how it tells us in verse 17, "Until I came into the sanctuary of God, then I perceived their end." So he tells us he got a revelation. He's looking, if he looked at the circumstances and considered those and meditated on it and started comparing himself to the ungodly person who's prospering, he was struggling, he was stumbling, he almost became bitter. But when he came into the sanctuary of God, then he started to perceive the true end of the person who doesn't honor, love, or follow God. He goes on to say to the Lord, "Surely you set them in slippery places. You cast them down to destruction. They're destroyed in a moment. They are utterly swept away by sudden terrors." So we see the psalmist giving us the true perspective that he realized after he was struggling, comparing his own life to a wicked person who's prospering. And yet he came to the realization after coming into the presence of the Lord that the end of the wicked person never is good. They might look like they're prospering for a season, but the end for them is always destruction. And then he goes on to say at the end, toward the end, the last few verses of this psalm, saying, "Whom have I in heaven but you? And besides you, I desire nothing on earth. God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Behold, those who are far from you will perish." So he understood that you have destroyed all those who are unfaithful to you. But as for me, the nearness of God is my good. I have made the Lord God my refuge, that I may tell of all your works. So this psalm is a great word to us, because we live in a day when you could read the newspaper or watch the news on television or read articles on the internet and see people who very openly don't follow or honor God, who openly disavow God or claim that they are atheists or whatever, and yet maybe they are great business people or have very prosperous businesses, and if you took the same course of thinking or thought process that the psalmist had here, you could also come to that same conclusion. What good is it that I've kept my heart pure? Surely in vain I've kept my heart pure, the psalmist said, and washed my hands in innocence. For I've been stricken all day long and chastened every morning. So he's saying, here's what I was thinking. This is the way I was thinking. I was getting close to giving up on God. I was getting close to stumbling, falling away from the Lord, despairing of the Lord. When the Lord gave me a revelation about the true end of a person who is wicked, who doesn't walk with God, and who refuses to honor God, I perceived their end, he said. When I came into the sanctuary of God, I perceived their end. They will be destroyed in a moment. They'll be utterly swept away by sudden terror. You do destroy all those who are unfaithful to you. But as for me, the nearness of God is my good. I have made the Lord my refuge, that I may tell of all your works. And then when we move on to Psalm 77 and 78, we find a similar theme in the sense that the psalmist writes that though he struggled in the night, struggled during the day, wondered about his situation and if God's loving kindness has ceased for him, or will God ever be favorable again? And he's struggling with these thoughts. But then in verse 11, he takes on the correct attitude, makes a decision that will help him emotionally and mentally deal with the circumstances that he's in. He says in verse 11, I shall remember the deeds of the Lord. Surely I will remember your wonders of old. I'll meditate on all your work. I'll muse on all your deeds. What God is great like our God? You are the God who works wonders. So he makes a shift in his thinking and in his speaking by making a decision, a choice of his will, to remember the deeds of the Lord. He's in the midst of a difficult situation. He's struggling. In my day of trouble, I sought the Lord. In the night, my hand was stretched out without weariness. My soul refused to be comforted. And he's talking about just the struggle he's having. And then he makes a decision of his will. And it's something that you and I must do in our lives as well. You might be in the middle of the roughest period of your life. Maybe you're going through a divorce. Maybe you're going through family problems, financial problems, pressure from outside, and it looks like, where is the Lord? This psalm is so instructive for us in those seasons of our lives, because every person faces them. And as I said, the psalms are so precious because they really reflect the reality of a human being's life experience, that there are difficult seasons where there's much pressure and difficulty, and we have to take hold of the spiritual instruction we can get from these psalms. And here in Psalm 77, we see how the psalmist got the victory in the midst of his difficulty. He said, I shall remember the deeds of the Lord. I'm going to remember what God has done in the past. I'll remember your wonders of old. I will meditate on the fact that you are the God who works wonders. You have by your power redeemed your people. And then he begins to recount specific miracles the Lord did for the people of Israel when they were trying to get out of Egypt and being freed from Egyptian bondage, how God made a way in the sea and all of those things. It's the same for us today. Only we don't have to reach as far back as this historically. We can look in our own lives and remember the wonders God has done. Remember the deeds of the Lord. Remember when God helped you. Remember when you had an answer to prayer. Remember when the Lord spared your life. You can go on and on. And that is a very powerful way to encourage yourself in the Lord in the middle of difficulty. Make a list of everything God has done for you, and then remember those things and tell the Lord, I'm remembering, I'm doing what your psalmist did. I'm remembering the deeds of the Lord, the times you've worked wonders for me, the times you've delivered me, and it'll encourage your heart today. That's a powerful thing to do when you're going through a difficult season in your life. And in Psalm 78, we see a similar pattern that God wants his people to remember what he's done and to encourage, for us to be encouraged by those things, and then to be able to pray in faith that we can put confidence in God and see God answer again. In these verses, we're instructed not only to do it ourselves, but then to tell the next generation to come the praises of the Lord, his wondrous works that he's done. So you can tell them to your children and your children's children, and this will encourage them to trust the Lord, to be confident in God, and to have faith that God will do it again. Because Psalm 78 goes on to recount more of the miracles of the Lord. He wrought wonders before the people of Israel in the land of Egypt. He divided the sea. He caused them to pass through. He made the water stand up like a heap. So the psalmist is remembering specific miracles. Again, how God split open the rock in the wilderness to give them water to drink. You might be in such a wilderness time in your life, it looks like there is no hope, no water, and you're going to die of thirst, so to speak. This psalmist reminds the people that God was able to bring water out of the rock. Whatever you're going through today, God can bring water out of the rock in the wilderness for you. He wants to do that, but he looks for a people who will remember the wonders that he's done before, who will trust in him for future wonders, for God to deliver again, to provide again, to guide again. God wants to do that in your life, but he doesn't want us to become like the people of Israel who forgot what God did the week before, the month before, the year before. Be a person of faith, a person who chooses, like the psalmist, to remember the goodness of the Lord that you've experienced in your life. That's the way to keep yourself in a place of faith, trust, and confidence in the very good and faithful God that we serve. God bless you, and I encourage you to remember the wonders God has done for you, and then pray in faith that he will do them again. God bless you. Have a victorious day. If you have enjoyed My Everyday Bible, please share it with others. It's our heart to get the Word of God out around the world. If you'd like to help us continue this work, you can make a donation through this app or on our website at myeverydaybible.com. You can also mail a check to Hidden with Christ Ministries, P.O. Box 745, Forest, Virginia, 24551. And don't forget to check out our free library of Bible teachings at hiddenwithchrist.org. We believe you will be blessed because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God.